This is the School Leadership Show, the only podcast dedicated to helping practicing and aspiring school leaders improve their craft. The School Leadership Show brings together thought leaders from inside and outside of education to deliver you the insights and tools you need to succeed in school leadership. In this episode, Jen David Lang of The Main Idea and I talk about interviewing and hiring teachers. Our conversation is based on a chapter in a new book by Jen David Lang and Kim Marshall, The Best of the Marshall Memo, Book 1, Ideas and Action Steps to Energize Leadership, Teaching, and Learning. Specifically, we discuss strategies for spotting candidates, reviewing and updating hiring processes, and writing interview questions. Jen and I agreed on the theme music for today, some 9 to 5 by Dolly Parton. So please enjoy this conversation about interviewing and hiring with Jen David Lang. So I'm here with Jen David Lang, Jen, the co-host of the School Leadership Show and sometimes solo host. How are you?
Good. How are you doing this morning?
I am doing great. And we have something very exciting to talk about because we are talking about your new book with Kim Marshall called The Best of the Marshall Memo, Ideas and Action Steps to Energize Leadership, Teaching, and Learning. And we are going to talk specifically about the chapter on interviewing and hiring. Do you want to just talk real briefly about the format of the book, maybe how it came about, and then we'll dive right into interviewing and hiring?
Sure. Kim and I are excited. We're just about to launch this book, but we picked 11 topics that most school leaders care deeply about, and we combed through the Marshall Memo archives of article summaries, over 8,000 of them, and chose the top articles on these 11 topics. And that's how we organized this book, and this is book one. We will have a book two with 11 more topics coming as well. But we did the legwork for the busy school leader of combing through the archives to find those articles under each of these 11 topics. So today we're talking about interviewing and hiring. It's a chapter with 11 articles about hiring and interviewing.
And we chose interviewing and hiring specifically at this time of year because most folks either may still have hiring to do or have just gone through the interviewing and hiring process, and this might be an opportunity to reflect on that and refine their processes moving forward. So the section or the chapter basically breaks down into three sections, right? Spotting candidates, hiring strategy, and then questions, right?
Yes.
Okay. So why don't we talk a little bit about this idea of spotting candidates and what you and Kim identified as some of the big ideas in there?
Well, I think some of the traditional ideas that we have about what makes for a qualified teacher are questioned in this section. So, you know, you think, oh, you have to make sure you hired a licensed teacher. Well, there's legal reasons for that. Or someone with advanced degrees. But some of those don't necessarily correlate with teacher success in the classroom and also teacher retention. So these authors propose other qualities to look for to make sure that the teacher you hire in August will still be there in June. So, you know, one of the ones that really stuck out to me in this section is the article by Carol Dweck. We all know her work about growth and fixed mindsets, and we think about that a lot in terms of our students, right? Students who have a growth mindset believe that their intelligence and their skills can grow with effort. But what about our teachers? She connected the whole idea of growth and fixed mindsets to the 50% of teachers who leave teaching within 5 years. So think about if we ask questions to teachers, prospective candidates, to determine whether or not they had a growth or fixed mindset. Because think about it. If you have a fixed mindset, right, you're a first year teacher, you go into the classroom and all of a sudden you're discouraged. You're like, oh, wait a minute. I'm not really good at this profession. I just entered the wrong profession, right? Oh, you know, there's nothing I can do. This is an unruly class. I'll never be as good as that teacher in the next room next to me. Think about all of the internal dialogue and how that affects everything about you. Whereas if you're a teacher with a growth mindset, then you're going to say to yourself, huh, nobody's good at this right away. It takes experience and work. Or, oh, I really admire that teacher over there in the other classroom. Maybe I'll talk with him and get some ideas from him. Or, oh, there's a professional development session coming up. Maybe I can actually improve after some professional development. So one of the things that she proposed is that we look at teachers' growth and fixed mindsets as one way to determine if they would be successful in the classroom. Did I lose you?
Sorry about that. Are you there?
Yes. I wasn't okay. Sure if you were there, yeah.
I'll have to cut that out, or we'll just leave it in, podcast verite. But she had some statements in there suggesting maybe having teacher candidates agree or disagree with certain statements as a way to try to pin down their mindset, which I thought were pretty interesting. Things like, where is it?
Pages 98 to 99.
Yeah, where she basically says, you know, the value of trying new teaching methods outweighs the risk of making a mistake. So getting at that idea. So some of those are pretty cool. And I think anybody who is listening to this has probably been a teacher or knows teachers. But I remember thinking when I was student teaching kindergarten and the teacher who'd been teaching for many years, just I was amazed at how she just knew what to do. Like, use this book with that lesson, or here, try it this way. And I just remember thinking, how am I ever going to get to that point? Will I ever get to that point? So I think that's a nice way to think about this.
So you could even give those. So she gives, I think, 6 or 7 statements that determine whether a teacher has a fixed or growth mindset, depending on whether you agree or disagree with the statement. You could even give that to a prospective teacher to see.
Right.
But it's not all about growth mindset. Many people have heard of Angela Lee Duckworth and her book on grit. And they found in their study that SAT scores, college GPA, even school assignments are not predictive of which teachers will be successful in the classroom. And instead, they did a couple of studies to see if grit was a factor in teacher effectiveness. And of course, it turned out that it was. But again, it's that perseverance. Who's going to persevere? Because nobody walks into a classroom and has an easy time every day, the first day.
Well, and that's interesting because if you ask somebody in an interview, you know, tell us about a time when you had to persevere or something like that. I think everybody's probably going to come up with something, but I would imagine it's got to be hard to suss out the degree to which someone has grit in an interview process.
That may be hard to tell, but and that comes into some of the other strategies. But one of the other authors writes about asking candidates not to share their beliefs, but to share past behaviors, because past behaviors are the best predictor of future behavior. Absolutely. That's what Mary Clement writes about. So it is actually more powerful. If you ask a teacher, do you believe in persevering?
Right.
You know, just like, do you believe all students can learn? Of course, the answer is yes, of course I do. But to be able to come up with examples on the spot, you know, give an example of a time when, you know, you had a persistent classroom management behavior problem and you found a way to stick with it and successfully address that problem, and now you no longer have that problem in your classroom.
And I think that would be a good question, and that comes later in the chapter, but thinking about, because you two looked at an article around references, so I would imagine that would be something to ask during a reference check. You know, tell me about a time, if you observed a time when this particular candidate had some kind of classroom management issue or some sort of issue that they had to persevere through. So yeah, that's good. And then the one I thought the article about the Gallup teacher selection tool was pretty interesting. You want to talk a little bit about that?
Well, I don't know how many listeners are using it, but you know, that article struck me as a little bit odd because you know, basically it's talking about the need to go beyond that and people's actual, using people rather than just a tool to determine. And I think it's connected to these other ideas. There's no correlation between some of the traditional ideas we have about teacher candidates and actual performance.
Right. And I always remember having those conversations when I was a principal, and I was in a decently sized school district where there were 5 elementary schools, and every spring the elementary school principals and a group of teachers would get together to do the interviewing to create this list of people we could choose from when we had openings come up throughout the year. And I remember a lot of times just sitting there thinking how what we're asking them to do in terms of answering questions in a room of 20 people sitting around a table just has so little to do with what their job is going to be if they get hired. And I think that emerges from this chapter, this idea of having, you know, questions that are experience-based. You mentioned that a little bit. I mean, getting beyond the, what's your philosophy of education? Because I think one of the authors makes the point, like, right. Who, as someone new to a profession, really has some sort of deep and compelling philosophy about how it ought to be done? Like,
right.
You know? So I thought that was pretty interesting.
Yeah. No, and I think, you know, getting to the second section about other hiring strategies, just like you were saying, sitting around and asking a whole bunch of interview questions, I think you and I have been around long enough that we've seen the evolution from when you used to just interview teachers. Now, many people do teaching demonstrations. We didn't have a specific article about that, but I think that's almost a given that you try to bring a teacher in and do a little bit of a teaching demo. But this second section about hiring strategies, these authors tried to think, well, you know, what else can we do to determine during this day if this would be a good teacher for the next 5-10 years? And so several of the authors, such as Douglas Reeves, he talks about giving teacher candidates tasks, actual tasks to do. So when they're coming in for their interview, ask them to come an hour early. And instead of sitting there waiting their turn to interview, give them some data, student achievement data, and ask, what do you notice here? And what would you do about it? To see, you know, do they focus more on demographics or do they focus on what you could do from this data? You know, have you seen examples of tasks like that have helped to suss out good candidates?
Well, and even having them, I like this idea of having them observe in a classroom.
Yeah.
And just say, hey, you know, what did you notice about this? And then that would give you a lot of insight depending on, you know, what the candidate said. Like, did they focus everything on, you know, how orderly it was and on classroom management? Or did they really think deeply about the choices that the teacher made for those students at that time? I think that's a pretty, I'd never thought to do that. I think that would be pretty interesting. But again, I mean, I think that's probably a double-edged sword because they're not necessarily trained observers, but still, I think you would glean something. And then the idea of having them look at student work too, up against state or district standards, I think is big because, you know, if you ask somebody, oh, do you know what the New York State math standards are? Well, okay, yeah, they do, hopefully, and they might be able to talk about them. But to be able to take a couple pieces of student work and say, all right, take a look at these samples of student work up against these standards, and then what would you do next?
Yes.
You know, and
yeah,
really,
it's applied. It's more applied.
Exactly.
The same way doing the task itself is more applied rather than asking generally about standards. But it's applied. And one of the other authors, she really talks about thinking about questions that can assess a candidate's data savviness and their curriculum planning. So, you know, sort of think about the behavior-based questions and ask them, you know, how would you plan a unit on algebraic equations? So on the one hand, maybe it's theoretical, but it's also they obviously have to draw on their past behavior. You can't just come up with a theoretical idea to plan a unit on algebraic equations. You have to show, your past behavior. What have you done in the past? Did you start with the end goal? Did you come up with essential questions? Did you map out the unit before you mapped out your lessons and your activities? So these kinds of questions that really get at practice more than philosophy or ideas.
Exactly. So and then the third section of the sort of the information part of the chapter gets at, really starts to dig into interview questions, which I think we were kind of tinkering around the edges with. But yeah, you know, those are, I remember just having just discussion after discussion about what are the questions we're going to ask? What, you know, what are the follow-ups, that kind of stuff. Anything jump out at you noteworthy about interview questions?
Yeah. And also there's a ton in there. And at the end of each chapter, Kim and I included professional learning suggestions. So ideas for action. So I don't know if Mike, if you and I will get a few minutes to talk about that.
That was my hope.
Here. Okay. But so keep in mind, like, the article that stuck out for me was Mary Clement's article, and she has so many great interview questions that you can just beg, borrow, and steal, you know. Everything from, what are your best strategies for beginning and ending a class? What are two routines that have worked in your class? What positive form of parent communication have you implemented? How can you tell if students are getting the material with paper and pencil quizzes and tests? So she has a lot of really great questions that, again, get to, you know, what is the behavior that you've had in the past? So that article really stuck out to me. And also Elena Aguilar's article about hiring for emotional intelligence. I know, Mike, you and I often end up talking about emotional intelligence, but she talks about coaching a first-year teacher who seemed so qualified on paper. But almost all of her coaching sessions, this teacher was just crying. I can't understand why the student hates me, or I can't deal with the student's disrespect. And at the end of the year, the teacher quit. And so, again, it gets back to this idea of resilience or grit or growth mindset, but also think of it in terms of emotional intelligence. Can a teacher know when she's getting overwhelmed or stressed and be able to do something about it? Is she in touch with her own emotions and able to manage them, given that most of our teachers work in teams? Is the teacher aware of the emotions of other people, and can they manage relationships as well? So I think emotional intelligence is also becoming a very crucial area to ask questions about.
Well, and I love this quote. Asked a question about stress, the best answer from a teacher candidate isn't a glass of Cabernet or an exercise program, but rather an awareness and interpretation of what's happening in a stressful classroom situation and a specific strategy, right? So yeah, it isn't, well, I go home and have a couple glasses of wine and hope it's better tomorrow. No,
but that's a good question to ask, again, about behavior, not just your ideas. So
you mentioned the kind of the layout of the book is the information up front, kind of broken down into different categories and specific articles. And then you get into the professional development piece of that. So you want to talk a little bit about what those professional learning suggestions look like for the chapter on interviewing and hiring?
Yeah, sure. I mean, the idea is not just to read articles for the sake of reading articles, but okay, I've read these articles as a principal, so now what can I do? And so these professional learning sessions in this chapter focus on preparing your hiring team to do a better job. There was one statistic in the chapter, and this is from the business world, not the education world, that 75% of employee turnover can be traced to poor hiring.
Wow.
So I don't know if it's the same for teaching, but it, first of all, you just have to, the first activity helps teachers on your hiring committee or administrators just understand the importance of putting the time into hiring, that hiring impacts retention of teachers and the performance of teachers and their impact on student learning. Next activity helps them understand, based on research, which factors correlate with better retention and success. If they're still thinking that, you know, a candidate's SAT scores are what's going to make them the best teacher ever, then you have to make sure that they know that's not the case. There's also an activity to help them come up with a job description and characteristics to look for, like the characteristics you and I spoke about. Growth mindset, emotional intelligence, grit, some of these other characteristics. And then it really helps the team put together a comprehensive hiring practice. Let's look through all the things that were suggested in this chapter and decide, what do we want to do? Do we want to ask a candidate to look at student work? Do we want a candidate to submit sample unit plan? Do we want the candidate to observe in a classroom, like you mentioned, Mike, for a few minutes? So it's really putting together a comprehensive plan to make sure that you're thinking about all angles. And of course, there's an activity about planning interview questions. There's so many tips in this chapter, so this activity helps you go back and think about the interview questions that you want to keep and tweak and adapt and come to consensus. And there are lots of suggestions in this chapter.
Well, and I love that chart that you put in there about it's a three-column chart with topics, questions, and then look for. So if the topic is emotional intelligence, you list some questions, you know, how do you recharge, name something you've intentionally stopped doing, and then the look fors then, you know, do they have an awareness of their own and other people's feelings, and, you know, then look for experience with challenges and ability to manage stress. So beyond just the question, but also getting your interview committee to think about, you know, what is a good answer to this, or what are the things that we are looking for in a candidate based on this question?
Yeah, it's not enough just to think about the topics you want to cover in the questions. But if you and I are on a committee and we're looking for different kinds of answers, like maybe, Mike, you're looking for that Cabernet answer, then, you know, we're not on the same page. And a final suggestion, not everyone likes to do role plays for their professional development. Some people do. But imagine having your hiring committee practice with one of their members pretending to be the candidate. So, you know, the first candidate you interview in real life might be the candidate. So you put this whole new process into place. And what if there are flaws in it, right? Flaws in the task that you've created or in the questions. So why not go through a short role play with the hiring team?
I think it makes sense, because I also think it helps force the committee to really take a look at what are they looking for. And if you've got seasoned teachers around the table and they can't answer the questions, you know, in a way that the team thinks shows that the question helps you determine what you're looking for, then, you know, it's not a great question. So,
Good point. Yeah. So those are some of the ideas to help you take the suggestions in the chapter, the articles, and put them into action in your school or your district tomorrow or the next day.
So where can people find the book?
Well, the book is it is currently being sold on Amazon and Barnes & Noble. So you can go to either of those places and easily find the book by searching The Best of the Marshall Memo.
And then and where can people go to learn more about Jen David Lang?
Well, you can go to themainidea.net. I summarize books in my other life, and they can find out more about The Main Idea there.
Spectacular. I'm looking forward to talking about these chapters. It's kind of fun to just go deep on one of these topics that is just so important. And I think you and Kim have done a nice job of really distilling so much information into something that's readable, but then taking it to the next layer of, okay, now what do you do with it? This is exciting work.
Great. Well, thanks for taking the time to discuss the chapter with me.
Thank you. Thanks for listening to this episode of the School Leadership Show, a podcast for aspiring and practicing school leaders. Send your comments, questions, and show ideas to me, Mike, at schoolleadershipshow.com. And please consider rating the podcast in iTunes and leaving a comment. And definitely pass the show along to your colleagues.